As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello, friends, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, Week 16 ranks, playoff ranks. That's right. It's your boy, the Welsh. We've got Brandon Funston, and we have Jake Seeley's ranks, not Jake Seeley. We couldn't pry him away. It's almost Christmas time. It's very important. But we do have his ranks, which are continuously updated over on the Athletic. You know, so you kind of guys, you know the drill. I would tell you, if anything, prepare yourself for next year as well if you've been sitting on the subscription. All off season long, there is content to be had that's going to only make you a better fantasy football player. Jake and Brandon are the biggest sources of that, so make sure you do. Brandon Funston, playoffs. What's your situation? What's your playoff situation right now?
Oh man, I almost bungled my most importantly, I have Jalen Hurts as my guy, and everything was trending towards him going to play. And then he had that Saturday night where things took a turn for the worst. I woke up Sunday morning. I was like, okay, I better go grab Marcus Mariota. My competitor grabbed him. And so I was sitting there with Jared Goff had gone. But he was my backup. It was on Saturday. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I just went and picked up Drew Locke. I was like, okay, if Geno doesn't go, then I can play Drew Locke in place there. Thank God Jalen Hurts went. I started A-Chain over Singletary. I made all kinds of bungles, and I ended up just getting enough from Jalen Hurts on Monday night to survive and advance. So I had four playoff teams. I advanced in all of them. I'm still got four teams going, so things are going well. How about you?
That is beautiful. Yeah, I have three big leagues that I'm tackling. One was an auction league, which I was like the best all season, and of course got eliminated. A guillotine league, which are super fun, and I'm in the finals. It's a 16-team guillotine, and by the way, you know, people understand guillotines. Every week, a team gets chopped, and their players are in the pool. So they're super teams. You know, like my team, I'm going to be rostering Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and Cooper Kupp as my wide receivers this week, and that is a big, big, big one. And then I've also got a 16-team keeper league, which it's a monster team. But I have Jake Browning at quarterback. So I am putting all my hopes into Jake Browning still. And we are rocking through. Plus the pentathlon, which Derek Van Riper here at The Athletic puts on. It is one of the most fun formats ever. And if you ever are into just trying to make sure you're having fun in fantasy, Brandon, I don't know if you know this. Sometimes people forget about the fun that is involved in fantasy. You can have lots of dollars attached. But the concept of the pentathlon, I have enjoyed immensely, and it's kept me involved all season long. And it was, you have a best ball, an auction, you do a survivor, picks, and a DFS weekly, and that creates a leaderboard. Every category pays, and then there's an overall. It has been a lot of fun. Bogman and I are sharing a team. We are really trying to make way. We're probably not getting first anymore, but we are in a heat for third place right now with a potential to get to second. And that one has kept me heavily, heavily involved in the season. And sometimes fantasy football, that's all that it's about, is finding ways to make sure that people want to stick around. That's a format that literally almost every single person, I think, but one team is heavily still involved trying. And I would suggest that if people are looking for some funds.
Where is that site hosted? I'm guessing it's just everything's done on the separate sites, and then DVR brings it all together for a leaderboard, like on Excel or something. Yeah,
that's right. It's on a spreadsheet. Yeah. So it's like, they did a recurring free contest on DK. They do I'm forgetting where the best, I think best ball was NFBC. And then we had the Superflex in Yahoo, and the Yahoo also did the picks and the Survivor. So we kind of did it all through, and then they just essentially assign points to where you are in the standings. And that's how it's that's a little formula for you. If anybody out there wants to do it, I think I'm going to maybe even take and do a version of that with baseball this year. I just think it's a very fun format. That's why not to make this about not week 16, but as I have done fantasy for a while, Brandon, you are the OG of fantasy. Literally, we tell people this all the time. Like my cohort, Scott Bogman, you are the first face for him. Like he gets starstruck with you. Not anymore, but he did because we do shows with you and you're an easygoing guy. But like you were the face of fantasy for him when he first got in. So you've been around for a long time as well. But when you do it long enough, I personally, what has happened to me over the last couple of years, looking for other unique, fun ways to not just do like a standard PPR. That's why I always applaud Jake and creating the flex leagues, which is kind of a whole different concept. Guillotine leagues have brought a new level of fun to me personally. And this pentathlon idea is another really, really cool one, especially if you've got involved people. So however you can go out there and try to make fantasy football different and fun and engaging, I highly suggest it.
Here's an idea for baseball if you want to try to translate it over, because Survivor is going to be a hard thing to do. But yeah. Every team plays a weekend series. So you could just say every week you have to pick the team that's going to win a weekend series, which makes it like kind of fun.
Yeah, Friday, I like Saturday, that.
Yeah.
And I think there could be an element where you could, if people want to do props, I think you could do that into a football guillotine as well. Maybe everybody picks five props on the week and then you track that. And yeah, baseball also is thinking you could have like a home run call, you know, a weekly home run call, and you tag that. So I've got some ideas on the baseball one. I think Derek's football one is amazing. The only thing you could either replace or add would be some type of a betting element, which you do with the picks. You do picks by spread, but if you wanted to have a little prop element to it, I think you could do something with props. So just getting all your brains rolling here if you want to have some fun.
Right.
But obviously you guys are also out here trying to win your championship right now in week 16. So let's see if we can help you out. We are going to be going through, we got Jake's ranks here. We'll give you a primer on that and where Brandon is differing. So that's what we'll do. There's a couple pieces of news out there. There's a gajillion injury things. So I'm not going to hit on all of them. There's like, this guy didn't practice on Wednesday. We're waiting for Thursday reports. Friday's going to be important. Two things do stand out. One is a quick one I'm just going to throw. Officially, Kenny Pickett has been ruled out for Saturday. That one was looming a little bit because Tomlin announced that Mason Rudolph would be the guy, but if Pickett was healthy, he would have started. They just killed that. So it's Mason Rudolph starting on Saturday. And I legit don't know if I would start a single Steeler this week. And I don't know if anyone's alive with a Steeler.
That was exactly my point. Like, are you playing right now? If you've been relying on a Steeler, I'm so happy that across the board, I'm pretty much completely uninvested in Pittsburgh Steelers this year. And like, there has not been a run really by anybody. Maybe Jalen Warren,
maybe
think of like a run. I'm thinking like three or four straight games where you're just like, yeah, I'm just loving this. You know, it's been a lot of ups and downs for the entire team, but mostly down. So yeah, I don't know that it matters. This is not news that's going to shake the fantasy playoffs.
No, it really, with Warren, it's been anticipation and it's never happened. The only thing that could shake it is Najee Harris is a little banged up. And if Najee were to not play, then I would get into the Jalen Warren business. But again, who out there is like alive with him? Though you could have had other guys and benched him and made the right
move. He's a perfectly great bench, kind of like plugging in through the bye weeks, you know, throwing in a flex in a tough spot. Like he's great for that. But if you've been leaning on him, you know, you probably got hit at some point.
Yeah, like I wouldn't even have interest if like Pickens is sitting out there. Like I'd go probably a gajillion other ways. Like Dontavian Wicks would be someone I would rather play over Pickens and would and rank him over him. The bigger piece of news, though, this is the important one, is Jonathan Taylor practicing on Thursday is going to determine if he can play in week 16. So I think we heard this rumor that he was going to, you know, he was kind of ramping up. I think he got into either a full, I think he got into a full practice on Wednesday, if I remember correctly. And the report is, and we're recording this on Thursday, today's Thursday practice will determine. So we should get some news about that. If he plays, all steam ahead. Don't worry about anything else. Zach Moss is in danger. So I'm just painting this scenario that if Taylor didn't go, Moss is trending like he doesn't go. It's a Trey Sermon show. And that might be, if someone did not pick him up in the championship, you might want to hold him just in case. But again, I guess you guys are going to know. The only caveat would be like if Taylor didn't go and Sermon's sitting out there, like where would you rank? Like where do you think you could rank a Trey Sermon Colts running back
Goodson,
field? Like
Goodson RB2? In the mix as well.
Yeah, and Goodson. Yeah, you're right.
So I you know, I was ranking the running backs this week. It goes pretty deep of people I feel pretty good about. I have James Conner in the mid 20s, and I'm like, he's the main guy there. I don't feel like he's going to be terrible. So I'm probably not going RB2 with Trey Sermon because I think it's going to be a split workload as well. And so I'm thinking he's going to be more like RB30 ish, low 30s. So, but I'm hoping it's Jonathan Taylor because I mentioned that one team I made the decision to go with Achan over Singletary last week. Jonathan Taylor was the guy on my bench because he wasn't playing. God, that would just make life a lot easier to just say, you know what, I'll put in Jonathan Taylor and not worry about Achan's toe or Devin Singletary playing the Cleveland Browns, you know? So.
Yeah, dodging bullets, which is so great too.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You dodge all those bullets, and if you can get back, and they would go with a comfortable workload. It is fair to, like, I think with this announcement, too, the last thing I'll say on this, is with them saying like this will determine, I'm not going to take it where like if he practices and they're like he's going to play, that they're going to give him 8 carries or something like that. Like if they determine he can go, I expect them to let him go. And it's not going to be Trey Sermon and Goodson getting, you know, 15 touches to Taylor's 15 touches. I would think it's going to be primary Jonathan Taylor. So I will be.
This is a team in playoff contention. They're absolutely, exactly. I think, going to be. You know, someone played last week with the thumb injury as well. It was pissing me off because I'm like, what's Jonathan Taylor doing? He's actually kind of a little bit longer than they sort of expected. You know, they're just kind of like, you got to get him out there. Come on, man.
Yeah, man. I think it's trending in the right direction. But again, we'll find out shortly. I guess two other pieces just came down. They're not like breaking news or anything. Ja'Marr Chase officially announced out against the Steelers. So that hurts me for the Browning. And CJ Stroud did not practice on Thursday with the concussion symptoms. So that is still looming. Nico Collins did return on Thursday. That's huge. That's huge for that offense. I still love Noah Brown this week, regardless. If anything, it'll just put him in better focus. But I don't know if it'll be Case Keenum throwing to them or CJ Stroud. It seems like it's leaning Keenum.
Yeah. You know, and this is also kind of going to relate to Trevor Lawrence, who's in concussion protocol. Like CJ Stroud's missed more than a game, and just the stats on players' ability to suffer a concussion and then be able to play a week later is way down this year because of the new protocol with the NFL. And so Lawrence probably isn't going to play either.
Yeah. And again, pay attention to the injury reports and pay attention to your waiver wire to have as much backup. Brandon laid out the scenario where you've got to be smart, where if you've got a guy that is dicey at all, dump players that have absolutely no warrant to play. Like you might have been holding on to these fun running backs or wide receivers. You can dump them.
Demario Douglas is a perfect example in a 12-team league of someone that you're just like, you know, you like the that little bit of hope and upside, but he's not like, he's not important at this point.
If you got your three receivers and your obvious flex and you don't see a scenario unless there's a major injury and there's nothing out there, you dump him and focus on anybody that could have a questionable tag. Aaron Jones returning, but then all of a sudden having a questionable tag. Make sure you've got some type of a backup in there. Obviously, the quarterback's the same. So you're not in a scenario where you're like, oh my God, hopefully Geno doesn't play, so I have Drew Lock if Jalen doesn't play. Like, you want to set yourself up as best as you possibly can. Let's talk about those ranks. Jake has got his ranks over at The Athletic right now. You can check him out and get prepped for the week. Here is your relative quarterback primer. You want to get all the ranks. You got to go there, but I'll give you a few. Jalen Hurts is the number one quarterback. Jake has treated Jalen Hurts like Christian McCaffrey, just blindly gone Jalen Hurts every single week. Dak Prescott comes in at number three. Patrick Mahomes at five. Brock Purdy over Lamar Jackson this week. Love that. Matthew Stafford at 10. One of the ones that jumps out to me as well is Baker Mayfield. What a huge, you know, coup he was last week. And making him top 12 in a really great matchup against the Jags makes a lot of sense. Those are a couple of these starting quarterbacks that jump out here. You've got two bones to pick here. One of them is Dak Prescott, who Jake has at, it's three. It was two at the time, so it looks like he moved him down one spot. But nonetheless, it doesn't change the big differential in the QB1s. He's got him at three, and you have him at seven. So, I mean, I guess you've got the likes of probably Purdy, maybe Tua or Lamar Jackson and whatnot over Dak, where Jake is all in on Dak this week.
Yeah, you know, I think that, so I'm just looking really quick to see. I do definitely have Purdy ahead of him. I have Tua ahead of him. Look, Dak didn't, I mean, you know, he was on a great roll. That was three straight home games against some defenses that weren't like super fantastic. And then last week, you know, the wheels came off on the road, and now you're going on the road again. And you look at the splits for him. He's over 300 yards per game at home. He's 216 yards per game on the road. And it's not a small sample size anymore. We're almost through the season here. So I'm a little bit worried about what we saw with him on the road last week. The Dolphins are not a terrible defense. They are and give it there. They're not just playing out the string. They're playing with, you know, their playoff positioning on the line. So, and you know, the other problem for me is there's just not a huge, like you shut down CeeDee Lamb. There's just not a ton of guys that hurt you in the passing game. Jake Ferguson, I like, but he's a tight end and he's, you know, he's solid, but like, it's not like if you shut down Tyreek Hill, there's still Jalen Waddle, and, you know, and there's still like as in the running backs that can make plays in the backfield, and the running backs for Dallas aren't really doing it. So
no.
I just don't think there's, if you shut down CeeDee Lamb, which I think that'll be their intent. I think you shut down Dak Prescott for the most part as well. I'm still ranking him seven, still playing him. He's earned that, but he has 216 yards per game on the road this year.
Yeah. And I'd also say, I think maybe part of the logic, if Jake were here, I'm not saying this is what it is, but Dallas's defense is okay, and Miami's offense is a juggernaut, that if Miami is putting up points, it might create more offensive opportunities for the Cowboys. If the Cowboys were to play from behind, you've also got more of an air threat that might be going on. So there might be some garbage that's in play here, some garbage time that's potentially in play. But I'm in agreement with you. Like, I go Patrick Mahomes over him against the Raiders. Absolutely fine with that. Yep. I like Purdy. Yep. And I'm not enamored. I think I'd rather have Tua than Dak this week. So I'm not enamored. Yep. So I am on your side with that one. The other one is Russ Wilson. You've got it 14. Jake has it 18. Actually, he's moved him down to 19. I am on the Jake side because I want no part of Russ against the Patriots. So much so, I didn't think Jake was going to be on with this with me on this one. I would start Jake Browning against the Steelers before I would start Russ Wilson against New England. Though it is in New England, or I'm sorry, it is in Denver, and obviously Denver has been slinging the ball. Cortland Sutton been playing up, but New England's defense is tough, Brandon.
Yeah, they are, but so was Cleveland's defense when Russell played him at home and he scored 20-plus fantasy points. It was the Jets' defense at home when he threw for a couple touchdowns and rushed for 49 yards and had over 20 fantasy points. I mean, Russ is QB 14. He's thrown a touchdown in every game. He's rushed for 30-plus yards in seven games. He has a rushing touchdown in three of his last four games. Like, one way or the other, I expect Russell Wilson to finish where he always does, which is very consistently in that 10 to 15 range. And yes, New England is a tough defense, but not the toughest defense he's faced. And he's overcome other ones. So be it on the ground, be it him throwing his obligatory touchdown to Cortland Sutton every week. Like, I just think he's going to find his way, especially, you know, so he's, I say he's quarterback 13, a couple of guys ahead of him, CJ Stroud and Trevor Lawrence might not play. Like, you start to look at it, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I just, maybe you're looking at like a Matt Stafford and a couple other guys that have played well that you can put ahead of him. But like, I just think it's pretty easy to slot him at 14, given what he's done this year. Like I said, throwing a touchdown pass in every single game. His floor is very high. I mean, it's very solid. And in a playoff, you know, that's what you want. You want guys that you know you can count on for at least something. And so if you got this far with Russell Wilson, I don't know it's going to be a whole lot different. He's probably going to give you right where he's been at, which is QB 13.
Yeah. And, you know, to add to your point here, since week 10, Russ is the 10th scoring quarterback overall, not on a per game basis. A couple guys jump over because there's like bye weeks in there. So he might jump to, if I'm doing the math, it looks like he's going to jump down to like 15 or so. But overall, in that time period, if you take the guy that's above him in that same range, Baker Mayfield is the 9th scoring quarterback since week 10. But he's got like a 10-point performance and an 11-point performance. In those six games, Russ has not scored under 14 points in a single game. It's just his high also is at 18. You're looking for floor, which to your point, you do want to have that focus on floor. You don't want to have a big miss at quarterback. That's what I'm terrified about. I'm in a playoff matchup with Browning, and I've got Eckler in there. And it's like, Eckler's a huge question mark that I might have to bench for James Conner this week. And then I've got a dicey quarterback, even though if you do look at Browning has three straight games of 20 points scored, but the others weren't that great. There is consistency with Russ Wilson. So I will agree with you on that one. Let's go over to the running backs. Your running back primer, Christian McCaffrey. Doesn't matter who he's facing. It's Christian McCaffrey. Kyren Williams, good matchup against the Saints. He comes in at number 2. How about Rashad White coming in at 4? Jonathan Taylor ends up showing up at 7. So Jake is full on ranking him as if he's going to go. Pacheco looks like he's lining up at 8. We've got Jahmyr Gibbs, and Saquon Barkley rounds it out at 12. Here is a difference. You have an RB1 that Jake is firmly out on after pretty much his worst performance of his career. Derrick Henry comes in at RB12 for you, 18 for Mr. Jake Seeley. So you think there's a big bounce back in play for Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I'm thinking about a lot of things with Derrick Henry. First of all, you go back and look at his worst games. He almost always bounces back right after that. But we're going to probably have Ryan Tannehill back, his old backfield partner in this one. And do we trust Jake more or do we trust Vegas more? Because Vegas has Derrick Henry for 78.5 as the over-under and his combined rushing and receiving. And they have his touchdown prop at -175. So they're basically saying he's going to score a touchdown. And they think he's going to get roughly 78 yards. If he gets 78 yards and scores a touchdown, he's probably a top 12 running back. But I think with Tannehill back, and I look at this the other way, like I think they know that Tyjae Spears is their running back of the future. A lot of times they'll say, oh, they got to see what Tyjae Spears brings to the table. They're going to sit Derrick Henry, you know, for much of the rest of the season. I think it's the other way around. You have a guy that you pretty much are confident in now in Tyjae Spears to kind of like take the baton.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Derrick Henry's not coming back. You give him his farewell tour. You got two home games left. This one against Seattle. And Seattle's top five, most generous in fantasy to the running back position. So I think they're gonna let Derrick Henry kind of have his farewell, you know, especially for this last two home games, and let people appreciate what he's brought to the table for the Titans over the years.
Some other interesting names. Bijan does make it in the top 15 for Jake, as does Ty Chandler. Jake is probably one of the highest on Ty Chandler this week. Expectation, Madison or not, Chandler's the guy. But if Madison's not there, it definitely looks better. And you can do some running on Detroit. Ezekiel Elliott at 19. The back end is pretty interesting. Chuba Hubbard at 23, who I'm very, very in on. But here's a RB2 name that you guys have a pretty big differential on, is Travis Etienne. Comes in at 13. He's kind of fallen off lately, but it's against Tampa Bay, so that's a big reason this week, though the receiving side could work well. You've got him down at 19, so he is like towing the line of RB2 for you, where he is the almost RB1 for Jake. So are you worried about the Tampa Bay defense with Etienne? And Etienne has kind of stepped back, plus you got injuries to Lawrence. I'm probably making some of the cases why you're not enamored with Etienne this week.
Yeah, injuries with Lawrence. Here's a prop for you, because we both love our props. Under on Travis Etienne, 55.5 rushing yards. First of all, you know, you mentioned Tampa Bay. That is their wheelhouse. Vita Vea in the middle of that defensive line. They limit running back production. But Etienne, I'm counting it out here, he's been under in 7 of his last 9. In one of those games, he was over by the hook at 56. So he's only had one game above 56 yards in his last 9. And now you're going against one of the best defensive, you know, run-stopping units there is. So I just don't think the yardage – you mentioned the passing yards. That could be something that allows him – but he's kind of, the way Jake has him, almost dependent on scoring a touchdown. And I don't know how well this offense is going to be with C.J. Beathard behind center, how many opportunities they're going to have in the red zone. You know, so I just don't like a lot of the things that you mentioned, plus, you know, what I talked about here. Like, I just don't get a great feeling for Etienne in this game. So he's 19 for me. We're both RB2s, but Jake's got him as a strong RB2. I think he's kind of like, to me, he's like the RB2 that you're like begrudgingly throwing in there and wishing you had a better option.
Yeah, very well said. I think there is a better option in play. I think this require. I've kind of made it be known, I'm not in love with players whose value is like heavily, heavily touchdown dependent. It's great when they get it. You know, Gus Edwards had that awesome run. It's different now with Gus Edwards, by the way, because Mitchell is out. But, you know, when players are heavily dependent on that side, I do see it. I find it hard to believe the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be able to like stay in the game enough where they're going to be able to like slow down the clock and maintain the running game. So then it's like, okay, you got to get Etienne involved in the pass game, which he absolutely can't do. So I'm just uncertain. So you said it best. If there's another option, you kind of maybe wish that was there. The most eye-opening in week 16 of a season is this rank right here, RB27, Austin Eckler. That is how far off Austin Eckler has gone. I personally believe this goes one of two ways. Goes one of one different way. It continues on with what we've seen, but with a new regime, kind of think it's like they're going to go to back to the basics, which it's you give the best player all the touches, which we see a lot of time in new coaches, or they could completely scrap this whole thing and we see less Eckler than we've seen in any single week, so they can highlight Spiller and Kelly. I tend to think it's going to go the former. But I'm a little bit higher on Eckler than most, but Jake is not RB2 on Eckler. Yeah, where are you?
You hope, right? Because are you leaning towards Eckler over Connor?
I am. Yeah. Right now I've got him. I've got Eckler in
before. I'm mid-20s. I might not be all the way down at 27, but Eckler, they're back to back on my rankings, I'm pretty sure. So that's a tough call for you, man.
It's not fun. It's not. I'm not looking forward to making that call. We'll get there. All right. Let's go over to the wide receivers. Let's primer that bad boy up at number one, CD Lamb this week for Jake. Tyreek Hill comes in at top 5. There's still some, I guess, some overall questions. DJ Moore at 8 against the Arizona Cardinals. Love that one. Debo is the wide receiver of choice in the 49ers. Wide receiver core. He is inside the top 10. One of my favorites this week, Rashee Rice is one of them guys. Just a couple more because our focus is going to be more wide receiver twos and where your difference is. T. Higgins is a top 12 wide receiver for Jake with Jamar Chase out. I kind of buy that. Olave healthy. Thank you very much. Amari Cooper is in there. Jalen Waddle still top 20. And that takes us to one of the wide receivers I actually just talked about. Is your big difference with T. Higgins? Jake has him as wide receiver one. Going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have him at 20. So you're kind of back in wide receiver two here. Obviously, the Steelers have actually pared it down a little bit, but they got some bad injuries. No Fitzpatrick this weekend. So I kind of believe this is about like what you think Browning is going to be able to do. But you tell me, why is Higgins 20 versus Jake's wide receiver one for Higgins?
Three words, Joey Porter Jr. The guy's been a shadow coverage machine. You know, I look at Mike Clay's shadow report. You know, he's mentioned since week nine, some of the guys that he's, you know, shut down. Last time he faced the Bengals, he took Jamar Chase, held him to four catches. Chase did have 80 yards, but that's like the best, you know, the receiver's done. I think since week nine, I was doing the players that he shadows, been like DeAndre Hopkins, Marquise Brown, Michael Pittman. I went on the under on receptions prop last week for Michael Pittman, who had caught like eight or more in like a ridiculous amount of games, and held him to like four or five catches. It was like one of his lowest of the year. So Joey Porter Jr. is legit, and there's no reason why he won't be shadow covering T. Higgins. I think the catch percentage against Porter is second best in the league behind Jalen Ramsey at like 40%. So he's done a great job. I just think that, like, look, that's going to be the focus. With no Jamar Chase, it's pretty easy. T. Higgins is a guy you need to worry about in the passing game. So Joey Porter's got him, but they'll probably even maybe even give him a little bit more of an eye, you know, with the safeties and stuff, to just make sure the one guy that can hurt us in the passing game doesn't hurt you in the passing game. So I just don't see wide receiver one upside with that. Wide receiver two, just because he is the only guy sometimes, and maybe just intent and volume alone can get you there, but I think it's going to take a lot of that.
One of those things where it's like, kind of stare at guys like Boyd, you know, because I agree. Porter Jr. has turned into one of the better cover corners in the entire league. It's why the Pittsburgh Steelers went from one of the absolute worst pass defenses early on in the season to being middle of the pack is when they started committing to him as a starter. So that has kind of changed up their game. Boyd might be an interesting option. Yeah, it's dicey. I think I'm in between you guys on my overall ranks, but I get it. The last one, as far as the big rank differences go, just poking out a few other names. We did have Puka Nacua drops for Jake at 23. You've got Calvin Ridley at 24. My boy Noah Brown shows up at 26, which I love. I'm very invested in him this week. But you guys have a big difference in Chris Godwin, who had been an absolute nothing burger for most of the year and then popped huge this past week, probably on most people's benches. You have him as a wide receiver too, Jake. Barely has him as a wide receiver three, 22 to 29. So do you believe they've turned the corner with Chris Godwin and he is back in the graces of high target share with the Bucs?
Well, he has been for more than last week. He was the week before too. He had 11. He's had 11 and 12 targets over the last 2 weeks. So if you tell me, you know, two games where you get 23 combined targets and you just put up 150 yards and now you get Jacksonville, who has been one of the more generous secondaries, and especially on the perimeter, you got Trey Herndon and Tyson Campbell out there, and Tyson Campbell hasn't been playing and he looks iffy to play again. Like, that's where they've been hurt. That's where Godwin and Evans are operating. Evans draws attention and it's starting to, I think, pay off for Godwin a little bit because Baker Mayfield's suddenly going his way a lot. So I just think when you look at a guy who's coming off 150 yards, who's averaged 11 and a half targets over the last 2 weeks and has a really, really good matchup, I can talk myself into wide receiver too, especially when someone who has an NFL track record like Chris Godwin does. This isn't a flash in the pan. The guy's been around the block a few times.
And if you want to dig on to the much deeper names, I will tell you one that I'm different than Jake on. I'm very big into Dontavian Wicks this week, and I'm not even seeing him on. Maybe I just missed him on Jake's ranks here. Oh, he's 48. Yeah, I mean, I think he can be a wide receiver three this week, especially if we are without Jaden Reed. So something to pay deep attention to. And if there's no Zay Jones, Parker Washington might be a really interesting dart throw if you're in that situation, simply because he plays at the slot and that's where they do like to throw the ball. and the Bucks, you can throw on them. So those are two deeper wide receiver plays I would take a look at. Tight end sleeper. Who are you sleeping on the tight ends for this week for us?
Well, it shouldn't be a sleeper. The guy has three touchdowns in the last 2 weeks and coming off a game in which he had nine targets and seven catches and was like the only playmaker was Hunter Henry. And now you get the best matchup in fantasy going against the Denver Broncos. So Hunter Henry, I'm surprised isn't ranked higher based upon what he's done the last couple of weeks. You know, and looking like he's become like Bailey Zappi's go-to guy. You get the best matchup in fantasy, and he's not a consensus top 12 tight end, I don't believe. At least Jake has him way down at like tight end 18 or 20. I'm a little bit more like bubble tight end one with Hunter Henry.
All right, there you go. Those are your ranks for the coming week. Go over to The Athletic right now, and you can check out Jake. You can also go to at All In Kid. You can see the article he tweets out that is consistently being updated. There's also the projections tab is fully set there, so you can see what that's looking like this week. It's a robust, crazy, fun article. And if you want more detailed look at all the ranks, you can do that over there. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you don't miss any of it, because the schedule changes up over the next couple of weeks. Only one episode next week for what I assume is championships. I will call championships. And it will be the three of us. The gang will be back together, and we will have a week 18 podcast where we may even look at our sights just a tiny bit at like what the 2024 season is going to look like. So make sure you're subscribed and be looking forward to the Wolfpack back together. This will be the last episode, obviously, before Christmas. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever that is. Have a great time. Relax, enjoy yourself, and enjoy some football. Brandon, have a very, very great holiday, and we will talk to you all next time right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.